If you will, read with me Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. And Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Leslie, what do you tell me we have to be? Fruit inspectors. Leslie's never given you his fruit inspector speech. I think that's vitally important. And, you know, when we look at the people around us, the people that we allow to speak to us, the people that teach us, the people we listen to, we need to be mindful of what fruit they're bearing. And Jesus talks about that false prophets are going to reveal themselves because of their fruit. I think the opposite is also true, that those who are teaching and helping us to do what God would want us to, they're going to be producing the good fruit. We have to be very mindful of that. What happens to trees that do not bear good fruit? They're cut down, right? They're cut down. And they're thrown into the fire. Who does that cutting down of those bad trees? God does. And I think that's an important message for us to absorb. It's not my job as a Christian to cut down false prophets. It might be my job to expose them. But I think sometimes in my life I want to exact God's vengeance, right? Anybody else ever wanted to go out and, you know, fight it out? I don't think that's our battle. That seems to be God's battle. Our task, we talked about a little bit, that Paul talks about in the 2 Corinthians, we're to be those ambassadors of reconciliation. God is the one who exacts vengeance. But we have to watch out for those false prophets. And this goes back, like you had talked about right at the end of class last week, Dan, with Ozzy and I, this goes back to the portion before when Jesus is talking about that there is a narrow gate and there is a wide gate. And the narrow gate is the gate we want to get in. And the wide gate is the gate that's easy to get in. And many times false prophets are going to point to that big wide gate that's easy to get in, right? That one that we're trying to avoid and stay away from. We need to be mindful of that. Well, we can't talk about fruit without going to Galatians, can we? Flip over to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to talk about, because Paul uses this exact same language here in Galatians chapter 5 when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh, and also he talks about that fruit of the Spirit. I want to read a little bit of a longer passage than just the part where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to start a little bit earlier than that. So let's start in Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 16 and read through 25. So Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. And Paul writes this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. And so as I read the bad fruit, if you will, right? Some of these, check, got it. I don't have a problem, right? Idolatry. I've never worshipped an idol. Some of the other ones, sorcery. I've never practiced sorcery. I've never seen anybody practice sorcery. But then some of the other ones that I read, I'm convicted by. Things like envy. Things like conceit. Things like dissension. Do people that we listen to preach dissension and division sometimes? Do we allow that message to enter our hearts sometimes? Do we allow ourselves to be divided? That is an easy thing to allow ourselves to fall into. And Jesus has also talked several times in the Sermon on the Mount about envy, about being happy with what we have, that evil eye that he talks about, that is wanting more. We have to be mindful of that. But then the good fruit, if we see the good fruit from people, that good fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those are the ones we memorize, right? How does Jesus tell his disciples the world will know who they are? You remember that in John 13? What does he say? When they love one another. We can come up with all the ways in the world that we can come up with to show everybody that we're Jesus' true disciples. But if we don't start there, it won't matter, because the world will reject the message. And rightly so. Jesus says the world will know us by our love for each other. And so as we try to go and talk to people, as we try to witness for Christ in the world, if we don't have that love, if we're not bearing that fruit of love, we'll not have the results. And we won't bear the fruit out of our ministry that we want to. We have to be mindful of that. Not only of watching out, we want to look outward, right? And we want to make sure that the people that we're following are bearing good fruit. But we also need to turn that microscope back inside. And we need to look inward. And we need to make sure that we're bearing the kind of fruit other people can look at us and see Jesus. I keep reaching over here for my my clicker. It's a force of habit there. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Because he's just talked about looking outward. And we do need to look inward, but now he's really going to focus on looking inward. These words should convict every one of us. They're a challenge to every one of us, and they're a warning to every one of us. So let's read verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Folly. It's not enough. But Jesus goes past this. And I think that's what really should convict us. Jesus tells the story about people who will say, we cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. And Jesus doesn't come back to them and say, oh, no, you didn't. You didn't do anything for me. He seems to accept the fact that they have done things, even mighty works for him. And he still says, not enough. What is he looking for? If worshiping is not enough, if testifying to the world isn't enough, if doing mighty works isn't enough, what is enough? Doing the will of the Father. That's not easy to do all the time, is it? There's a couple things that get in the way of doing the will of the Father, right? There's other people, and there's ourselves. And there's situations as well, but we need to be mindful as we look out in the world that people aren't leading us down the wrong path. We need to look inside as well and make sure that what we've learned is being put into action and that we're obeying. We can't just provide lip service. Lip service isn't enough. Obedience is required. Mighty works aren't enough. Obedience is required. There's a couple different places Jesus tells stories like this where people are surprised on Judgment Day. We need to be mindful of that. There will be surprise on the judgment. People will stand before God and be surprised. That's the story he tells here. That's the story he tells with the sheep and the goats later on in Matthew. There were people who said, "When did we see you there?" They missed their opportunity to be obedient and to serve. Jesus was serious about those wide and those narrow gates. He was very serious about it, and we had better be paying attention to it. Let's continue on with Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. This is going to be the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He finishes his message with another exhortation to us. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This study that we've been doing this quarter, can we honestly say, every one of us, look inside our own lives, are our lives built on these words of Jesus? Does the message of the gospel form the foundation of our entire life? The wise and the foolish builder both hear, don't they? They both hear the message. Maybe both of them believe the message, but only one puts it into action. Which builder has the storm come on them? Both. What does that teach us? Or does that teach us anything? It should. What does it teach us, Miss Edna? Storm is coming. It's how you handle the situation. So Leslie said, that's how you handle the situation. It determines how you handle it. Being prepared for it. You know, how do we avoid suffering in life? You can't. Exiting life is the way to end suffering in life. That's the only way that suffering ends in life. It falls. Solomon is clear about that, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we see here that Jesus is very clear that regardless whether we decide to build our life on the gospel of his life and the gospel of his message, we're going to have storms in our life. But by following Christ, we overcome. We can overcome in this life. We overcome in death. And then we also overcome in eternity. Jesus' words are a rock. We either build our lives on them or we break ourselves fighting against them, fighting against that rock. We would do better not to fight that fight. So I've said this several times during the quarter, and I wanted to come back as we're ending. And I'm ending a little bit early on purpose, because what I want to do actually is I want us to finish the class by going back, starting in Matthew chapter 5, and I want to read together with you the entire sermon. Jesus didn't deliver this as a 13-week lesson. He delivered it as a sermon to be heard all at once, and I want us to go back and listen to it that way. Because I think as I prepared to do this, it impacted me in a different way to read it, and I want to share that experience with everybody here. But I want to go back and remind us that Jesus' message is a different kind of message, right? And everybody knows that. They come here to the end, and those people know it. Maybe we've been growing up our whole lives. Maybe you were raised in the church, and you've heard this Sermon on the Mount, and you've read it and studied it. Maybe this is the first time you've studied it. But for these people, this was different. It was a message with authority. And it was a message that was different than the Pharisees. We call those Pharisees legalists, right? Larry uses that term, I like to steal it from, checkbox Christians. We're checking our boxes off. Well, that's what the Pharisees were. They checked their boxes off. I tithe this, I sacrifice this, I oath that, I fasted this, I prayed this, I memorized this scripture. They checked their boxes. And as a result of their checking of the boxes, they felt that God then owed them. God was beholding to them because of their righteousness. But that is not Jesus' message. And that is not the gospel. The gospel tells us we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works. We don't get to boast. I don't get to say, well, I had perfect attendance at church this year. All right. So I get a little bit nicer seat than people who miss some this year when I get to heaven. Not the way it works. Our standing in the kingdom of heaven is determined not by merit, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not get into heaven by the skin of our teeth or by the abundance of our good works. We get into heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a message I think Jesus wants us to hear, and he wants us to hear it in our hearts first. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he attacks our hearts over and over and over again. The Pharisees stress physical obedience. Do this, say this, teach this, eat this. And Jesus says, love. Think with your heart first. And when your heart is in the right place, actions naturally flow from that. Out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. Where our treasure is, there our heart is. Jesus says these words. So do we have any comments before we go back and begin in chapter 5? I think everybody who makes the comments this quarter have gone to CYC this week. You guys have been quiet this morning. But we do have a lot of people that are at CYC, so please keep them in your prayers as they travel back today. Yes, Miss Evan. So Miss Edna was sharing that the Sermon on the Mount's touched her, and was it this morning? She looked at her kitchen and saw those dirty dishes there and thought, what if something happened to me? People are going to come in here and you ever had to clean up somebody's house after they passed away or you know, had to go into the hospital? It's an interesting thing to go into somebody's house who wasn't preparing for that. Maybe you see some things they didn't want you to see, or there was a mess that they were going to get around to cleaning up. We need to make sure that we have that attitude in our lives, that we don't look at other people's dirty dishes and think ill of them because we don't know their situation. That's why it's so good for us that we don't have to judge. How many judges are there? One judge and one lawgiver. We're fruit inspectors, but we're not judges. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. It should take us about 15 minutes. I timed it last night. Morgan and I practiced this. She was taking her bath, and I read the Sermon on the Mount to her. But I want us to feel the way that Jesus flows through his message. He's going to talk about our hearts. He's going to talk about our worship. And he's going to talk about how we interact with the world. Let's begin. I'll be reading from, if you have one of those electronic Bibles, you can switch translations. I'll be reading from the ESV. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its salt, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said, or you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the righteousness of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, or your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So we'll close here in a minute. That was the first bell. We have about 5 minutes. Anybody struck by anything as we read it all together, all as one? I found myself reading it last night, how he talked about worship and our relationship to God. And he seemed to cover the whole gamut of things, how we give, how we pray, how we sacrifice to God by fasting. He wants us to do those things not to be seen. He wants us to understand that we do those things for God. You know, sometimes, tell my children that when we give, for example, we don't give to the elders, right? We don't give to any person. We don't give to the people who are collecting. We give to God. When you put that check or that cash, or you give in some other way as part of your Christian service, you're giving that to God. And when we understand that, it frees us some of how that gift is received. If you don't like what's being done with your gift was to God, it wasn't to men. And the value of your gift isn't diminished because you don't like what was done. The value of your gift is still to you. Yes, Karen. Karen was relating back in the Old Testament. If you performed a certain sin, you performed a specific sacrifice to rectify yourself from that sin. And so that you almost had to keep track, right? Well, let's see, how many times did I lie, and how many times did I cheat my brother, and how many times did I, you know, because you had to go make specific sacrifices to account for those things. And yes, Jesus has a very different plan for us, doesn't he? Looking at that heart. Yes, Christian. So Christian was saying that, you know, we need to make sure and focus on the fact that, you know, it's not being noticed by others, but being seen by God. You know, I think a lot of people would say, your generation, Christian. I'm close to your generation. I'm not quite there. You guys are all narcissistic because you all post on Facebook and you want everybody to see everything you did. This generation, they're so narcissistic, right? Jesus fighting the same thing 2,000 years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. Those of you who grew up in the 50s, you're narcissistic too. And you have that tendency, and you have that human nature inside of you. Just because you don't post it on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever you guys are using, I don't know all of them either. I'm out of it. We have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful. This is a human impulse. It goes all the way back. Yes, Chris. And so Chris was reminding us that we look at Solomon, and he had all those things. And in a way, all those things got in Solomon's way, didn't they? And so sometimes we look at the people who have more, and we forget that when you have more, there's a cost, and there's a risk to having more. Yeah, Rick. And we had to look carefully, too. Anybody ever gotten some produce from the store and got home and, you know, cracked it open or taken it apart and you smell inside and you're like, oh, man, how did I miss that at the store, right? That was a lot squishier than I thought it was. Or that meat was brown on the bottom and it was red on the top. They fooled me. We have to look carefully. Our time is up. Let's say a prayer real quick as we finish. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for your Son, for the message that he delivered 2,000 years ago for us to hear today. I ask you would help for us to build our lives on the rock that is your Son and the rock that is the message of his gospel. We ask for your forgiveness when we fail you and your forgiveness when we misunderstand you. We ask for wisdom and we ask for strength. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation in class.